welcome to the Tales of Teaching podcast, a place where I hope you can find inspiration, creativity, and most importantly, someone to relate to. Teaching can be tough, as I'm sure you know, so I'm hoping this can be a space where we can motivate one another to take teaching to a whole new level. You are listening to the Tales of Teaching podcast, episode 6, and this is technically part 2 to last week's episode where I was addressing all the first day of school things to do, how to set your expectations, how to cover the things to make your students great and to help make them successful basically all throughout life. So if you have not had a chance to listen to that episode yet, I highly recommend you stop this, go check out part 1. Listen to that, hear all the things about expectations and great things to bring into your classroom, and then come on back to this episode where I talk about first day of school activities. Okay, so let's talk everything first day of school, strictly fun and engaging activities. So these are probably my favorite activities to do just because it's so fun. You're getting to know everyone for the first time. They're getting to know you. You're gauging your students. You're figuring out all the things kind of in just that first week, and you're kind of having fun with it, right? So one of my favorite things to do, and I actually got this idea from my mom. She's been doing this idea since I can remember, and it's where you create a word search of all the students' names, and you put in that word search. And so it's just kind of nice because then the kids, when they come in, you're at the door greeting parents and students. And so it's nice because students find their way into the room. There's like a little bit of busy work for them to do if you're doing other things or if they finish early in that very first day of activities. And it's a good way for them to get to know all the names of the kids in their class. And it's something cutesy and fun. They can bring it home if they want to. I like to keep it personally in their kind of Inklete work folder for that first month or so they can kind of pull it out, work on it, and get to know the students of the week. And it's so easy, you guys. Just Google search, create your own word search, and it's kind of basically as simple as that. You don't really need to go anything crazy or cutesy with it. Just all you need is your class list, input all the names of your kids, and the Google search will kind of do the rest for you. So that is something fun. So right when they walk in, I almost have like a couple little sheets of paper. So obviously the word search that I just told you guys about. I also give them each a letter from my previous students. And I had these students write these on the very kind of last week of school last year. They were just kind of different things that they loved about the year, kind of things I have pet peeves about, just kind of how they thought fifth grade is and how our class was. And I love these letters. They're so fun. And it's something fun to kind of give to your incoming students if they're nervous, that kind of can calm the nerves. Okay, today, this year is going to be a great year. Fifth grade has a lot of great opportunities. So that's something I have on there. And then just a quick little snippet. A bit of do's and don'ts in our classroom, as well as fun quotes that I've kind of pulled from all of the student letters and put in there, like of all the things that the kids enjoyed from last year, things to look out for, things to be excited about, and it's just a fun little sheet. I want to say I even have it for free if you check out on my website, hellomrsharwick.com. If you sign up to be a site member, it's completely free. You'll have access to all the files that I use in my classroom kind of basically for free. And so that's kind of where you can check those out. I have a couple other little sheets you can use that I also use for the first day of school as well. So that's where those are if you're wondering. So I have those three kind of things on the desk when they come in, and of course their name tag. I just make a quick little name tag off of just Google, or not Google, PowerPoint with just their name. I leave it blank, no color. And I kind of almost treat that as a quick little, if you're finished early activity, they can kind of color in their name tag. And I always tell them when they're doing this to kind of do it with a little bit of personality, right? If you're a soccer player, I want you to throw some soccer balls in there. If you're a baseball player, I want to see. So kind of each letter has something new about them, which is kind of a fun way to kind of get to know them as well. So that's kind of what my kids do kind of right when they come in. And I already talked about kind of my expectations on my slideshow. So that's kind of where after that, I would insert the slideshow. if you're wondering, if you did not listen to my memo at the beginning and you're only listening to this, trust me, the first day of school is not just all fun and games. Okay, so after all that, then I kind of discussed this in part one, but I do kind of that inference activity. So when the kids walk in and we've kind of, you know, talked a little bit with one another, I let them kind of walk around the room and they kind of take notes of, and they kind of write down a couple things as to what kind of teacher they think I am. I'm not going to go too much in depth about this, but that's kind of where I would insert that. If you want more information on that, make sure you go ahead and listen to part one of the first day of school. So that's kind of where I would insert that. And then one thing that I'm going to try to do this year, we'll see if it's successful, is I was just kind of patrolling Dollar Tree as a teacher on summer vacation usually does, looking for stands to hold my books. And lo and behold, in this little teeny tiny aisle of like travel games, I see these mini Jengas. They are adorable. If you've seen my Instagram stories, I kind of talk all about them. And this year is going to be new. I'm going to go ahead and put one of those or make one for each class. I got enough for each table to have their own. And I was going to kind of paint certain pieces on the Jenga, like different colors. And I was going to almost have a little cheat sheet on each of the desks. And once they pull a different color, then they get to pick one of the questions to answer in that section. So say they pull and they look and it's a pink. So they would go to the pink section of questions and just pick one. And then would go all the way around the table and answer that question just to kind of get to know one another with their table group. Kind of talk about their strengths, what they did over summer, fun little questions like that. So that's kind of what I'm going to be doing with that. I think after putting much more thought into it, I thought I was going to put questions on them, you guys, but I was kind of thinking it might be better to do colors because then I can use them for multiple things, not just first day of school activity. So what I mean by color coding is if you paint or you color, you can even take a Sharpie. You Sharpie or color one of the sides or one of the faces, depending on what you want to do. And then just that color usually matches up with something. You can do it with math, right? So that if they pull a pink, that means you're doing order of operations. Or if you pull a green, that means you're doing fractions, okay? And you can kind of mold it into a bit more stuff than if I were to just kind of mod podge the questions onto those. So that's what I'm doing with that. The next activity that I'm going to talk about is three truths and a fib. This is something that I want to say I got from like a camp that I went to, and it's not an original idea by any means. I know a lot of teachers do this in their classroom, but it's just nothing fancy. I pass out like a half sheet of lined piece of paper or maybe even an index card. It's really just whatever I have kind of next to me. And I'll pass those out to the kids and I tell them, okay, you need to come up with three truths about yourself. So three facts about yourself and one that's a lie or one that's made up. And we as a class have to try and guess which one is the fib. And the kids just love this game so much. And I do one first. I show an example. So I'll kind of share and then they'll have to guess which one's the lie. And so I kind of almost tell them, okay, you don't want it to go away. You don't want it to be obvious which one is the one that you're making up, right? You want to maybe pick three facts about yourself that are really unrealistic, right? Like for me, I've never broken a bone in my body. That might sound like, wow, there's no way that's got to be the fib, right? So you want to pick like three little facts about yourself that just seem so wacky, not true, and then throw in your fib, right? And then that makes it a little bit trickier. And then it's kind of cool because you learned really weird things about your classmates that you probably wouldn't have ever known, okay? So my kids love doing that. We'll go around the room, Sam, and it's fun to try and guess which one they are making up. And that's just a fun little game that I like to play, not sometimes on the first day of school, sometimes on the second day of school, like I said, in part one. A lot of these activities, you guys, I'll plan and plan and plan and plan and plan, and I'll have so much stuff left over at the end of day one that it always gets pushed onto day two and day three. We start it on a Wednesday. for the first day of school for the kids. And it's so perfect because I think 3 days is just enough to kind of get through that first week. You're exhausted. You're doing lots of new things. The kids are exhausted. They're doing so many new things. And so it's just a good way to ease them in. And then come Monday, we hit the ground running with our curriculum. So after the Truths in a Fib, another one of my favorites is this like little llama craftivity page. And I bought it off of Teachers Pay Teachers from Fancy Free and Forth. I want to say her name is Layla. And it's the cutest little, it's anything like this is so fun and so easy to kind of have the kids do. And you can kind of learn their art skills, how they can do with a pencil. Are they rushers? Are they ones that take their time? And so it's just like this like little llama. It's so cute. And then each page is like little things that they fill out about themselves. Like what are things they did over the summer? What are some things they want to aim for this year? How they think this year is going to go? And it's just like a little, it's called an all about me little craft. And it's just this little flip book thing that they make and they fill it out in color and add detail. And that is something that I kind of just assign, or we start that Wednesday. Usually it's due by Friday to kind of give them time to kind of fill things out and add lots of detail. I'm such a stickler, you guys, for coloring. And I, again, got this little idea from my mom because I was sick and tired of my boys or, you know, those rushers coming up to you like, I'm done, now what? And they're little, sorry, pardon my language, but their little thing looked like a hot mess express, okay? Like, sorry, buddy, you were rushing just to get on to the next thing. And so I kind of started making this rule that whenever they're coloring, it needs to have like a minimum of 5 colors, because I'd have the one little boy that would take a purple crayon and just, all right, done, and just scribble it with the purple crayon. No, you're not done. That's not a work of art, right, dude? You just kind of rush through it. And so I kind of started, and it's kind of nice on the first day of school, I talk about, you know what? I want you guys to take pride in your work, okay? And so you have to have a minimum of 5 colors. And then my favorite is whenever they're doing a drawing piece, you tell them it needs to have a minimum of 5 colors. You have to color the background. I don't want any white backgrounds. There's not going to be any stickmen in the who are lost in a blizzard, or polar bears lost in a blizzard. Because trust me, kids will try to do like a little quick little doodle, not color it, and say, oh, well, it's just snow. No. And they'll ask me sometimes, like, is it okay if I keep this part white? Yes, that's fine. Things that are intentionally supposed to be white, like clouds and such, that's fine. But I hate when they just like, done. Because no, take your time. So that's kind of where I kind of learned that little piece and stuff too. Another one of my favorites, and this is kind of me being able to kind of test what their writing abilities are. And I call this our first day feels writing activity. And it's basically, I'm sure you guessed it, it's them writing about maybe how they felt on the first day of school, how they feel like this school year is going to go, and just kind of all that stuff. I think it's such a fun writing assignment. I get to kind of see their raw writing skills. Who's going to be my ones that are not a fan of writing? Who are the ones that I'm not even going to have to worry about when it comes to writing? And so it's just kind of fun. Day one, we just kind of do a quick little graphic organizer. I have them answer a couple questions, and then I kind of give them the paper and see how they do without really much structure. I like to do it this way, you guys, just to kind of see where I'm starting from. How much structure are these kids going to be able to need? What things did they remember from fourth grade? And that kind of stuff. And then what we'll do is after they've kind of written it out on Friday, we kind of go over the editing process. I think that's something that's so important. You can never assume that your kids know how to edit, especially in this day and age. So I kind of go through, we edit. I talk about how usually when we do writing, I like for them to aim to make 5 changes to their writing. And that, you guys, is such a little lowball number. And it's funny because some of them look at me and say, 5? 5 changes? You guys, I don't know what it is with this generation, but they do not like to change their writing. They like to just write it, be done with it, and never think about it again. I'm sorry, you guys, that's not how it goes. If you do that, you're not going to be the best writers that you can be. And so we'll go over editing. And one thing that I like to do is kind of almost take out maybe like my favorite author or a couple books, and we kind of discuss how what they think would happen if authors wrote these books the very first time they thought of the idea and then we're done and edited it, right? Without editing it. And I kind of talk about how all of our favorite authors sometimes have their book edited like 20 times. And that's not even an over exaggeration. And they look at me like, what? They edit their paper 20 times. And you guys, sometimes that's an even small amount for maybe someone who's editing a book, right? And so we kind of talk about that kind of stuff. And that's kind of how I bring it to light, I guess you can say. And then again, at the very end, I have them type up their writing, just so I can kind of gauge their typing skills, and they can kind of get familiar with turning assignments and into Google Classroom. And that's kind of how I do our very, very quick first writing assignment. But it's super fun because they get to tell me what they first thought when they came in, if they were nervous, scared, excited, tell me basically how their feelings were. And it's also nice too, because I feel like, you know, you don't get a lot of opportunities to write about feelings, especially maybe when you're in fourth or fifth grade. And so I think it's just a silly, fun little writing assignment. And for those of you guys that are listening, I will throw that lovely little writing assignment that I do into one of my folders if you are part of a member on my website, and you can snatch that up and use it in your classroom as well. So after we kind of do those little things, and you guys, these are not in any particular order. I'm just kind of listing the things that I like to do on the first day of school, kind of slash first week of school, is this, it's called Beat the Clock. And it's from Teaching and So Forth. It was this little PowerPoint that I got from her. She's two different versions. So if you are going to go over and purchase this, it is the back to school version. There's a cumulative review version that's supposed to be for state testing. That one's great too if you're on the vendor and you want to buy both, because I know there's a Teachers Pay Teachers sale kind of coming up here shortly. And it's just so fun and full of little games for you to do as team builders. And so I like to do this PowerPoint kind of the first week of school, and each day I'll break it down into the different quarters. So I don't know if you're familiar with her products, but especially the back to school stuff, the Beat the Clock stuff is always themed after a game. This one in particular is themed after football. So there are four quarters and an overtime. I want to say, I cannot remember. It's been a hot minute since I've looked at this back to school website. You guys, I start in 2 weeks and I'm just kind of really putting off all the back to school things. So forgive me. So there's four quarters, and I want to say an overtime. You know what? And there is a little huddle too. There's a little, that's why I was like, I remember there being five things to do. There's a little kind of, it's called like a group huddle or huddle up, where they get to know one another, and then they'll go into the four different quarters. So the huddle up is so great. And I usually have them in their house groups for this. So if you do house groups, it's a really great activity to do with the house groups. And essentially the huddle up one is just a bunch of questions that the groups will answer. They're like little task cards, and each kid will take a turn picking up a task card, and the whole group has to go around and answer the task card. So they're just different questions like, how was your summer? What do you think your strongest, what do you think your strength is when it comes to school, like reading, writing, math, that kind of stuff. And so they kind of go around and answer those questions. And I don't have this one particularly timed because I want them to take their time. I don't want kids to kind of rush their answer just so they're done first, if that makes sense. So they'll go ahead and do this. And then we will do the first activity that she has in there. And it's just like these little team building / minute to win it games that you just do with the kids to kind of get them excited. I want to say there's one, it's called Run the Play. And you're basically putting like little sticky notes in a like 4x4, or maybe 5x5 array, right? So like a little array of sticky notes. So you're putting them out, and the leader has to walk all the kids through the quote unquote play. So they have to be able to tell them they're holding a special key in their hand, right? They have to tell them which correct squares are the right way to get across. Okay. So basically they're running the play, but they aren't allowed to show them the card. They just have to verbally tell them. So it's good working on verbal directions and verbal communication with the group. And so we'll work on that one. And then the second day we'll do a different one. And it's something fun, I think, to just kind of, there's so much rule talking and expectation talking. And I feel like it's just a good way to kind of break it up. Here's a fun game, but you guys are getting to know each other at the same time. You can practice how I want you guys to work in a group. You can practice noise levels. So there's definitely some things you can practice. It's not just silly fun and games that have no meaning. Like I said, maybe in a couple episodes back, everything we do in my classroom, there is some reason behind it. It's not just because we wanted to sit and take a break and play a game, right? So that's kind of what I do with those. Now, if you do not feel like buying her product, I've did this for summer school this past year and it was so fun. Is just look up minute to win at games. Okay. Some of my favorites have been if you take some index cards, and I think I gave each group about 30 index cards. I think I forget what it's called. I'm sorry, guys. It might be the something tower. And so what you do is you have the kids fold the index cards in half, and they basically, and if you look this up, you guys, there's a YouTube video on it, and they sit there as a group and they just take the index cards and they're supposed to build the tallest tower in a minute. Okay. And it's really fun. Doesn't take any expensive supplies. I'm sure all you guys have a big old stack of index cards that probably just sit in your classroom anyways. And so I have them there. They'll do that kind of stuff. There's the cookie challenge, which is really funny, where they put the little Famous Amos or a cookie on their face and they have to try and wiggle their head and get the cookie in their mouth. So that's always a really fun one. If bottle flipping is still a thing, I know there was a bottle flipping one where I measured out a certain distance away from each of the groups, so they obviously had a fair advantage, and they had to take turns with their group flipping the bottle and trying to get it to land obviously the way it's supposed to land on the water bottle. And each one they did earned a point. And so I just basically, guys, these are all minute to win it games that I just looked up, minute to win it. Half of them you barely even need any supplies for, and they're really fun and really engaging. I've also done a couple STEM challenges, which are really fun. We did one where they have to build a bridge. And again, these are great house games as well. And I just basically just kind of gave them like whatever supplies I had on my closet. So I give them like index cards, string, what else did they have? Straws, tape, and a couple other little things. It's on my Instagram if you're interested. Anyways, and they just would have to build a bridge. And so I would just start looking up like different STEM challenges, because those to me were my favorite activities for the kids to do, because they're critical thinking. Sometimes it takes minimal supplies, and yet it's so, so powerful. So that's one that I like to do as well. And again, if you don't want to buy the Beat the Clock, just look up Minute to Win It Games, free. You can look up on YouTube to play the videos. And a lot of times I'd play the videos on YouTube to show the kids, this is what the challenge looks like. Here are some strategies you can use to do those. So that's really fun to do as well. So this next one is kind of a little bit of a mix of expectation yet activity. And so what I do like to do is I'll put a poster or an anchor chart paper on each of my table groups. And on each one, there'll be a different rule or different place at school. So one will say the cafeteria, one will say our classroom, the library, the computer lab, the hallway. So basically all the things that you can think of where kids go, right? Maybe you might even have the bathroom in there, because I'm sure you might need to talk about how to behave in the bathroom. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am saying that sometimes we need to tell kids how to behave in the bathroom. Yep. So what I'll do is I'll write the title of kind of all those things, and I'll give the kids a minute or two. And what they have to do with their group is write down as many things that they can think of how you're supposed to act in that place. So like basically what rules do you think apply when you're in the library? And so kids for like the minute will be writing, okay, quiet voices, and put the book back where it belongs, always walk with a shelf marker, basically all the rules that our librarian has set forth, right? And so they'll take a minute, I'll say stop, okay, and then they'll switch to the next group and they'll rotate to the next table. And so say the next one now is hallway, okay. Now the thing is, you cannot repeat what is already written. So the first couple ones you get to are really easy, right? Because those are the first, like you, it's still fresh in ideas. So it gets a little bit trickier kind of once you get down to the end, but then it's nice to kind of sit there and see what things they obviously see important, maybe what are some things that they've left out. And so what we'll do then, after they kind of rotated through all of the tables, they'll go back to their original table, and I'll have that table share what each of the different rules are, and then we sit and talk as to why some of those might be important. And that one's fun because not only does it get the kids moving, but it gets them thinking. They're the ones writing the rules down. You're not really going over anything. And so you're kind of hitting three birds with one stone, right? Win-win. I'm always about movement in the classroom. So that is a really fun and meaningful activity that you could be doing in your classroom on the first day of school to go over those quick, especially being in fifth grade, right? You know how many times they've heard probably these playground rules. And so it's just kind of nice to like quickly go over it in a meaningful way. Okay, another one of my favorite activities is, it's called like interview a friend. And what you do is you have your students pair up with somebody in the classroom. I don't know how you guys do that, but you just have them quickly pair up with somebody. And you have them interview their person, okay? And I had a set of questions that they would ask when they had kind of filled out. So they would answer a whole bunch of questions about their person. They would come up with a couple fun facts that they liked about them, okay? Well, then they would switch roles and the other person would interview the other student, okay? And so they both interviewed their student, right? Once the time was up, then what they had to have them do is you would have to kind of give a quick little blurb about the person that you interviewed. This was something that I did in one of my classes when I was getting my teaching credential, and I just thought it was such a fun and powerful and meaningful activity. It was something so quick, so easy, and it's getting them to practice their speaking skills right away. And also, it's kind of what I thought was interesting piece about it too is that, right, you're so used to telling about yourself. You know all that you're about yourself inside and out, but what you're doing by having the quick little interview is they are focusing on the things that they found interesting, right? And they're sharing the things that they found interesting. They have to work on their speaking skills and listening skills, right, to make sure they're really listening to their partner when they're interviewing them. And so I thought that was just a fun little quick intro so we can learn about each of the students as well, with practicing those skills that I kind of had mentioned above. In my class when we did this activity too, and again, if you have the time for it, it's really fun, is that you make a quick little timeline of basically their life. And what you would do is, I'm sorry, to get the kids going about it, is you have each of the kids do their own little timeline, and they write about, I think it was like 10 different important events that they feel like had happened in their life. And so they would do their own, and then they would share with their partner. And then their partner was one that had to take their timeline and share what they had shared. And so that's kind of another little spin you can do on it. And that's the actual activity that we did in my class. The one that I talked about prior was my kind of little spin on it. And it's, again, both basically the same, both equally as great, and just something you can do to kind of get to know each of your kids in a different way rather than stand up and tell me about yourself kind of thing. That way they're not necessarily on the spot. They're not talking about themselves. They're talking about somebody else. Okay, so this next activity is one of my favorite ones to do maybe day 2 or 3, and that is basically a little digital scavenger hunt. So what I mean by digital, and I will throw this one in the free file on my website as well. It's like a little grid that I made on Google Slides, and in each square, it says a different rule or expectation. So for example, one of them said, take a picture of where you sharpen your pencils, right? So the kids would take their Chromebook and take a picture of where we sharpen our pencils, and then they would input it into that square. The next one might say something like, where do you turn homework in? And so they would go over and take a picture of where they turn homework in. Another one might say, take a picture of you doing one of the most important rules, whatever one you think is most important. And so for them, this one's my favorite. I don't know why. I've had kids in the past that are sitting there raising their hand. And so they took a picture of a student raising their hand, and they said, raising your hand is the most important rule that they thought was in our classroom. And so it's just kind of a fun way to kind of go over the rules really quickly day 2 in a fun, again, way where they're walking around the room, they're interacting with all the things. And I like the pictures too because it shows me who knows where everything is. Because obviously if homework is supposed to be turned into the tub onto the left and the kid goes over and takes a picture of some random file folder, then he clearly wasn't paying attention. And I have them do this activity in pairs or in threes. And it's just something super easy. They go through, take the pictures, and then sit down, and then they're done. So it's really easy. And again, it's kind of training them to use the tools that we use all the time. It's training them to be able to use Google Classroom, to use Google Slides, to work with others, and to show me if they know what our biggest rules and expectations are. And so I think it is considered a win-win-win. So that's a fun one to do with your students as well. Okay, this next one is actually one that I got from Class Dojo. And so I highly recommend if you use Dojo. If not, they have access to all these free, amazing resources that you guys can use in your classroom of different lessons and stuff to use. And it has to do with the growth mindset. So this is one that I like to actually do on the very first day of school. If I can't, I highly recommend you do it on the second or third. And essentially, what you do is you cut this like little shape, and if you go to Dojo, it shows you exactly how to cut it. So you cut one for each table, right? And it's like this weird wonky little on a single piece of paper, right? And so what you have the kids do is you put them in pairs or in threes, or you might even just do the whole group if you want to. I think it's better in pairs personally, but that's just me. And so what you tell the kids is that you want them to replicate the shape with their partner. They are not allowed to touch the shape on the desk. They're only allowed to use their observation skills, and they are allowed to use scissors, okay? So you give them scissors, the piece of paper. They're only allowed to look at this object, okay? And what you're supposed to do as a teacher is you have an anchor chart or maybe even a clipboard, and you're just jotting down the things that you hear the kids say when they first see this task or hear this task. So some things you might hear is like, oh, this is easy, or we got this, like this is not going to take very long at all. And you have the kids, they're trying, they'll raise their hand like, oh my gosh, we got it, and they'll say nope, and they get a little disheartened, and okay, try again. And so you kind of go around, and I'm going to tell you right now, no one's going to get this shape because it's really confusing. And I gotta say kudos to if you have a group that actually completes this task, okay? So this is going on, you're kind of jotting down all the things, and you jot down all the things kind of once they start to get frustrated. So some things you might hear them change is, oh my gosh, this is impossible, this is hard, this is too hard, I give up, right? You might hear those things. So you're writing all the things down that you hear, okay? And so you kind of have them stop for a second, and then you kind of talk about it. You're like, okay, you guys, when I first gave you this challenge, a couple of you guys were saying that this was easy, and so I kind of go through the things that they were saying before they kind of got into the bulk of it, right? Like, you were saying this was easy, that you got this, and then as soon as it started getting challenging, you started seeing like negative things, right? And so I'd go over the things they were saying. You were saying this was impossible. How many of you guys raised your hand if you felt this was impossible? And so they raised their hand, okay. Now, why do you think your mind changed, right? And so they talk, well, because it got really hard. And so it basically essentially is supposed to be kind of a lead into a growth mindset, and how, okay, so just because something gets hard, does that mean it's time to give up? And so we kind of have this little talk about a growth mindset and how sometimes you might have to look at something differently. And so you let the kids kind of look through and kind of play around with it a little bit more. And in fact, I think I even showed them kind of how to make the shape, and they realize, oh wow, making that shape was actually really simple. And so, again, long story short, it's the process of going through this. It's a good modeling to show what a growth mindset's supposed to be, and to even kind of show the kids, like, you guys flipped your talk in just a minute, right? And kind of go over ways that they can kind of change their thinking and kind of talk about with them. So that was an activity that I got off of Class Dojo. And it's, you click on activities, and it's under the growth mindset one, and it leads you through step by step of what to do and how to create the shape that I told you. And again, it's funny because I kept telling the kids, it's like you only do one cut and it makes a shape, and they couldn't believe me. They're like, there's no way. Yeah, so that was something that I felt was so meaningful, so simple, you guys. All it took was scissors and a white piece of paper. Again, cheap, inexpensive, easy to use, but very meaningful. All right, and this is my last little one that I'm kind of leaving you guys with. I don't want to give you an overload of different informations to go over, but this is one that I'm planning to do on that very last Friday. And it's, again, this is going to be once all the rules have kind of, we've gone over them, they should know them by then, is I want to put them in maybe their table groups and have them do a little digital escape room, all going over things that we've done and talked about in our class that week. So one of the things might be pairing up the call and responses, right, the calls with the responses. I might have them go over, I might have pictures of the different procedures, and they have to pair it up with which one that's called. And again, stay tuned on my stories and my feed as I post about this, but it's something I kind of was just thinking, I've been thinking about for the past couple weeks now, and now I think I'm actually going to have time to be able to do it. But I think that would be really fun to do a quick little digital escape room with the kids, kind of to review those last little things. And again, you guys reviewing those rules over and over and over again is the best way to do it. And if you can do it in a fun and engaging way, like a game, you've kind of hit the nail on the head, right? So I really hope you got something from my little activities that I like to do during that first week of school. Again, I really highly suggest that you check out the resources that I talked about. They're ones that I've been using now for 4 years, and they've all been amazing and fun, and I like each and every single one of them. And again, if you don't start school for a couple weeks, you might even want to wait for that Teachers Pay Teachers sale that I think comes around in August. If not, they're all fairly, I think, reasonable in price. And again, please don't forget to check out that little, or become a site member. And I'm not even kidding you how much access to free things I put up there. I'm going to be better about putting more and more this year. Basically, essentially, it's the things I'm too lazy to put into Teachers Pay Teachers. So they are going to be Google items. They're going to be maybe decor items I don't really feel like putting into a pack, or things that I just print out for my class without any expectations of wanting to sell it, but thinking that maybe you guys might want access to as well. So make sure you guys do that. And again, if you guys have not done so yet, please make sure you leave me a 5-star review and maybe a comment. I enjoy reading all of those. They make my day. It kind of keeps this podcast going. And again, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to email me at hellomrsharwick@gmail.com. You can also DM me on my Instagram, @hellomrsharwick, as well as fill out a contact sheet at hellomrsharwick.com and just click on contact and fill that little bad boy out, and I can reach you as quickly as I can. Like I said maybe previously, I'm fairly quick with responding, especially if it's email or via Instagram. So make sure you guys do that if you have any questions. If you want to see visuals, again, the week of the 5th. So basically tomorrow, if you're listening to this episode, as soon as it comes out on a Tuesday, I am going to be actually pairing up with a couple lovely teacher friends, and each day of the week of the 5th, we're each going to talk about different things to get you guys back to school ready. The one that I'm going to be covering is on Wednesday, August 7th, and I'm going to be covering all of these back to school activities that I just talked about you guys today, but you'll be able to see them in action. And fortunately for you, if you sadly missed that lovely week, I'm going to be saving it to my IGTV of all the tips and tricks of activities. And so you guys feel free to watch that on my IGTV. I'm probably going to be popping it onto my website as well, because I feel like the more places it is, the easier it is to find. So be looking for those if you're listening to this on that Tuesday, tomorrow, basically. So that is all that I have for you guys. It has been a pleasure. If you're listening to this on a Tuesday, I hope you have a fantastic Tuesday. But if you're listening to this any other day of the week, I hope you have a wonderful day as well. It's been nice chatting with you guys about some back to school activities. And again, if you have not listened to part one about setting expectations, I highly recommend you listen to that one as well. So I guess this is it. Till next time. Yes, don't forget to check out the show notes for any of the links that I discussed in today's episode. If you enjoyed today so far, please share it with a friend, because the more, the merrier. Thanks for tuning in, and I can't wait to see you guys next time.